Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
And by coincidence, sitting opposite me is the Treasury Minister. This morning, a candidate from the North who's attracting much attention for obvious reasons, Anne Crane, currently the Treasury Minister. Good morning, Mrs.
Good
Crane.
Good morning, John.
Born in 1954, she entered the Keys in 2003 after an initial crack at it 2 years before in Ramsey. She's worked in London for a while. Well, initially she did, but she came back to the island, married three children, has been Education Minister, served on many committees, has said that she is willing to serve as Chief Minister if the call arrives. Is that an accurate... accurate description of your position?
Yes, indeed. I would be prepared,
prepared
to step
say,
up to any role.
But you're not prepared to say, I want to be Chief Minister?
No, I'm not. I think it will be dependent on who is in Tynwald after the election and who is best suited to what role.
You were put into the role you're in at the moment as Treasury Minister, of course, in the reshuffle last year. What qualities do you need to be Treasury Minister? Do you need to be a mathematician? I mean, were you a mathematics whiz at school, for instance?
No, not at all. But I am a politician. And I think that that's what people sometimes overlook, is the fact that we are not expected to be particularly expertise or have expertise in particular areas that we serve within government, but we are there to provide the political role, the policy to take those departments forward.
But when you're presenting the budget, for instance, and the talks you have, you must have to get across fairly complicated financial computations, really. Do you find yourself being able to deal with those things?
I believe that I do. I think that I've been able to step up to the plate. I think that it's been a marvellous challenge and opportunity for me, and it's given me a much broader spectrum across the whole of government and all of the departments and what their needs are as we develop our policy.
Let me quote you. We have robustly dealt with the review of our VAT revenue sharing arrangement. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we did everything we could do?
I know that we did everything that we could do. And I think that one of the things that's been overlooked in the revenue sharing arrangement is that we are still receiving this year £272 million out of that arrangement. So whilst many people focus on the loss that we are going to encounter, we still have a substantial sum of money coming from that arrangement. What I didn't have was a mandate to go forward and lose the Isle of Man, the Customs and Excise Agreement.
Well, can I deal with definitions? It's been described as a subsidy. It's been described as money that we shouldn't have been getting. Which one is it?
That's nonsense. It's neither. It's our share. And a share comes about from both parties signing up to, as to what is agreed. And
did we pull the wool over their eyes? Did we get more than we should have?
I think that we have done comfortably over the years out of the revenue sharing arrangement. I think now that we are looking at a position where only those sectors that actually provide VAT into the pool will be those that are calculated in the formula is probably a more fair system going forward. It's one that the UK government have stepped up to, and we now feel that we've got a solid base to move on from. So I'm satisfied that it's secure for the
future. There's much we can talk about in that area. Let's move on to other areas. All universal benefits will have to be reviewed by the new government.
They will, yes.
Stringent cuts?
I wouldn't say that the stringent cuts, but I do believe that there are areas where the universal benefits are, it's no longer suitable for people to
have. What are we talking about, universal benefits?
If we're talking about things like child allowance, should everybody receive child allowance? Should those who can afford not to have it? Should we receive free prescriptions at 60? Some need it, some don't. And I think that all of those things have to be looked at. As we're moving forward, what we've got to do is develop a much long-term strategy as to where the island is going. We have a burgeoning elderly population. We've got to be able to provide for the social care, the health, all of the things, the pensions as we move forward.
Let me move on to Ramsey, because obviously we're running out of time. In your manifesto, you paint a picture of Ramsey, which looks like the Olympic arrangements for 2012.
That was in my previous manifesto,
that's what
yes.
you hoped could happen to Ramsey.
Absolutely, and it is moving forward. If you look back at that old manifesto, we have the swimming pool developed there now. What we still haven't got on there is the marina, and I would very much like to see that developed in Ramsey. We have been stalled at every turn, and of course that's what brought me into politics in the first
stalled
place.
Stalled by who? The populace or the planners?
Initially the populace in 2001, which is the trigger that brought me into politics, because I was so incensed that should have been allowed to happen. So we still have a long way to go.
Can I just ask you one final question? If you were not to be Chief Minister, who would you put your weight behind to be Chief Minister?
That will depend on who is returned on the time.
But would you favour Alan Bell? It seems to be the people's choice. Would you favour Alan?
Alan is one of the names that's being put into the pot. I think also John Shimon, Eddie Tear, Steve Roden. There are many people who are capable of doing this job.
Mrs Crane, standing in the Ramsey constituency on September the 29th, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
It's Manx Radio, it's 8 o'clock.